SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports on 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. And a pretty interesting weekend from all vantage points and literally all around the compass, around the globe. And to be honest, my inclination is, as it's been, you know, from the time this Saudi race was announced, to not pay a whole lot of attention to it. But it's certainly a topic in the aftermath that needs some attention, and we'll get to it, I imagine. But focus, for me anyway, was certainly Gulfstream on Saturday, and a really entertaining, you know, 14 race card, and there was plenty of other action to, you know, take your attention. But everything pretty much leading up to the circumstances in the Fountain of Youth, and after we left you on Friday, after we left the for the weekend, the watch was on for Safi Joseph and what he was going to do regarding Chancet. And it, for the longest time Saturday morning, it didn't appear that he was going to come out. And then he did. And in the aftermath of that scenario, here was the horse that was now on the outside, Ette Indienne, and Florent Giroux moving in one slot to the 10. And as Jay Privman, you know, very much focused in on, an identical scenario to Gunrunner's Pegasus. And Florent Giroux, who has been really aggressive of late and is taking advantage of opportunities, I mean, pretty much wherever he is finding them. And he went for the turn, for the lead, and gets it. And that was it. That race, you could see on the backstretch and into the turn, he was not losing. It was just apparent. And Patrick Biancone, who sends Sol Volante Saturday at Tampa. Patrick Biancone is tracking to having 10% of the Derby field. And, you know, we had that conversation with him, what is it now, 3 weeks ago. And it's an amazing story. He bought 4 2-year-olds, and While he admitted that two of them are amounting to nothing, he is clearly got to be delighted. And all the people that are involved, including his daughter and his father, it's an amazing story. Ette Indienne, a 97 buyer. So from a speed figure standpoint, you're not going to question, you know, the validity or the, you know, where he fits. And it just feels like Patrick is going to land two horses in the Derby starting gate. Ette Indienne will focus toward the Florida Derby. The horses behind Ette Indienne, a group of, what, four that photoed for second, third, fourth, fifth. and ran, you know, some ran, you know, well enough to keep moving forward. Candy Tycoon and Country Grammar, notably, because they were inexperienced. They'll get chances. I know that Chad Brown has been, you know, the word was the Country Grammar will, you know, ultimate goal was the Wood. So the two of them, you know, separated by a head and a neck and a nose, or give or take, Candy Tycoon, who probably made up, I guess the two of them actually, Candy Tycoon and Country Grammar, they were making up ground. And that's part of the Saturday analysis that needs to be considered. How much of that, it seemed like an interesting track. There really wasn't a whole lot of, you know, on the dirt races. I mean, you look at, you know, Tonal of Shapes win, and of course, Mr. Freeze, who stayed close and then took over and won really well. I mean, I suppose the one horse that rallied on the main track, it wasn't in a stake, but Harvey Wallbanger put in a eye-catching move. And in fact, Ken McPeak with two nice wins in short order for Harold Lerner. Harvey Wallbanger winning that allowance, and then Mr. Candy Ride won the maiden race. But other than Harvey Wallbanger, was there anybody that, you know, made up significant ground to the point of, you know, of winning? And I think the answer is no. Mr. Candy Ride also, you know, made a move that put him in contention by the turn. So it's hard. It's hard to not. I don't know. There was also an odd thing, even on the grass. I was doing the figures late. I was watching, and Andy Beyer put together the figs fairly early in the evening. And as I was looking at them, each one, before they were cumulatively available, almost every horse that won, even on the grass, had reached a career best, one after the other. I mean, obviously, Ette in the End, but Mr. Freeze as well. Zulu Alpha on the in his win. Vitalogy, we're going to talk to Brendan Walsh in this hour, actually. Vitalogy came back beautifully. Last seen at Keeneland, and he's obviously going to be a major player going down the road on the three-year-old turf front. We'll also talk about Maxfield, who is starting to, you can sense that Brendan is starting to tighten up the screws. But who else? Elizabeth Way, how about the Roger Atfield, last out maiden winner? There's an angle in there somewhere. There's some learning. Elizabeth Way wins the very one. One after the other. The upsetter, the Hutchison upsetter for Larry Bates with Verve. That was a top, I think, Sambayer in the Canadian turf. It's pretty neat how Todd Pletcher has kind of refashioned that Starlight, the good two-year-old, has kind of refashioned him into a nice turf horse. It was really a fun day of wagering and just watching. If you didn't bet a lot, you still could, you know, enjoy what was going on. And a nice mix and match and variety of connections on the stake card. Wait, what do we have? 10 stakes. And it was one different set of connections, more or less after another. A couple of riders, notably Tyler Gaffleone with a pair of wins. Zulu Alpha actually exchanged some notes. We're going to hear from Michael Way, the owner of Zulu Alpha, next day or two, and he's just remarkable right now. He's absolutely dialed in. It's a great story. And, you know, Michael Way and Mike Maker and also John Ortiz, who's sort of part of the operation, they've really struck on a terrific approach. And I'm anxious to talk to Michael about that. You know, claiming, you know, expensive claims and going on with them. You know, basically, you know, buying, essentially it's buying ready-made horses, 62.5, 50,000, 75,000, whatever it is, and, you know, getting them mid-career that way. And Mike Maker's just so good with them. And once he gets them healthy and right and dialed in, he maintains it. And you know, there was one little handicapping thing that, you know, as I was trying to build tickets on Saturday in the morning, when I posted the analysis, I was curious because here was the McDermida with the last two winners in it, Zulu Alpha and Sadler's Joy. And I pulled up the chart. I'm going chart after chart after chart after chart. Six of the last seven going into Saturday, six of the last seven winners of the McDermida was the favorite. Then I went back a little further. Another couple of 10 of the last 12. Now, it's obviously, and I just, you know, rather than get too creative in that spot, I just focused on Sadler's Joy and Zulu Alpha, and that paid off. I mean, in terms of an A ticket, single Zulu Alpha on the narrow, you know, concentrated plays, and it paid off. So remember that, you know, and it doesn't have to be true every year, but there's really only been one significant price in the last 12 years. I stopped going back after that. After 12, looking at 12 charts, I said, all right, clearly this is a race that, you know, the inform horses have an edge, and Zulu Alpha really taking that to an extreme. And speaking of extremes, as we continue to focus on the Gulfstream results, a day of extreme emotions for Dale Romans, who we're hoping to talk to here presently. Mr. Freeze is in front of your eyes, is turning into a star. And he cut back from the Pegasus, where he was such a game second to Mucho Gusto. Turns back to the mile and was spectacular. 107 buyer. And, you know, speaking of inform, Fat Man came back, ran a nice race. He was trying to rally and could get no closer than three lengths. And Manny Franco had already, you know, kind of wrapped up on Mr. Freeze and Deep Stretch. Hog Creek Hustle. You got to give Tyler Gaffleone, this is one of the reasons I'm not sure about the racetrack. And I want to hear from Johnny, and we'll talk to Andy tomorrow. Tyler Gaffleone with Hog Creek Hustle, who, you know, we're quite used to seeing, you know, come with deep rallies. And whether he's got a newfound gear as a four-year-old, we'll see going forward with Vicki Oliver, how she approaches things. But Hog Creek Hustle broke fairly sharp and was, you know, was fairly close early, and Gaffleone held that position. And then, you know, tried to rally. And he was, you know, he was sort of looming, but it didn't seem like he had the same finish that we're used to. So I'm really curious how everybody else saw the track. I'm just, you know, kind of floating that out there for discussion. But back to Dale Romans, and obviously a great situation for owners Jim Backey and Jerry Isbister. They're talking about going to the Godolphin Mile, which seems a little, I don't really get, but, you know, when there's, I mean, there's significant opportunities domestically, and I, you know, great woman, the Met Mile and the Carter 7/8, but I don't know. I'm a little surprised that was the reaction. So we'll get that from Dale. But in the meantime, an hour later, an hour after Mr. Freeze's, you know, resounding performance, Dennis's moment was just, I mean, too bad to be believed. You know, seemed in the early half of the race, front half of the race, seemed like he was, you know, drafting along. And then you could see about midway on the backstretch, you could see suddenly when horses were starting to put in their moves, at first he just was idle, and then he started to basically backpedal. And it was clear before the turn. And Flavian Pratt just kind of wrapped up on him and backed him through the field. It at first they, you know, the first immediate aftermath said, "Oh, it thinks he caught a quarter." But Dale later said, "Nothing obvious wrong." And so Dale, they'll have to regroup, and it, you know, feels like a real disappointing scenario is building. So that's the game. I mean, I suppose to reference Maximum Security and Service, Saez and West, there's the extremes as well. You get taken down out of the Derby win, and then you win a money fest. That win is not going to that win doesn't assuage Gary West and Maximum Security from the Derby. But it's nice for you could say, oh, it's nice for the earnings and the reputation. And yeah, it is. He's such a cool horse. He really, I guess I understand the people that just insist on dumping on him and the connections. I guess I understand. It doesn't make it palatable. Horse could care less. That's the bottom line. So much to discuss here. The Stronach 5 results from Friday. Cross country on Saturday. A couple of very impressive maidens, not the least of which was the Aronis team. Hammer told you, Costa and Stephanie, the Aronis family came to Hot Springs. I don't think they were there necessarily for the long shot they ran in the Spring Fever. I think they were there for Edgeway, the competitive Edge filly. That was very impressive. The big upside. Hidden Scroll came back yesterday. Uriah St. Louis won the Bernardini Adventus. Just denied Gary and my man Siaka and Bluegrass Cat Smile. Plenty more to talk about. Jeff Mullins with a win, the Pasadena. Let's take a break. We'll get started Monday at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Well, another winter is almost over, and March, true to form, has come in like a lion, and hopefully will go out like a lamb. At least that's how March works here in the United States. But did you know that March behaves differently in other countries? Norway, for example, March comes in like a polar bear and goes out like a walrus. Or take the case of Honduras, where March comes in like a lamb and goes out like a salt marsh harvest mouse. Let us compare this to the Maldive Islands, where March comes in like a wildebeest and goes out like an ant. A tiny little ant about this big. Or consider the Republic of South Africa, where March comes in like a lion and goes out like a different lion. Like one has a mane and one doesn't have a mane. Or in certain parts of South America, where March swims in like a sea otter, then it slithers out like a giant anaconda. There you can buy land real cheap, you know? And there's a country where March hops in like a kangaroo and stays a kangaroo for a while, and then it becomes a slightly smaller kangaroo. Then for a couple days, it's sort of a cross between a frilled lizard and a common house cat. Wait. Then it changes back to a smaller kangaroo, and then it goes out like a
now, I
like
know a
wild
country.
Bingo. Now, and it's not Australia. Now, you'd think it would be Australia, but it's not.
It's a classic. Not the races tradition. Good job, Casey, remembering, because I had forgotten. John Belushi, in like a lion, out like a lamb, the march. Very fun. Well, as I said before the break, the ups and downs of the game, known to everybody, whether you're a bettor, whether you're an owner, breeder, just the pendulum swings. And here was the Gulfstream Mile and Mr. Freeze before everybody's eyes, clearly stamping himself as a handicap division star. And he may have already done that, actually, in the Pegasus try. And then an hour later, just the bitter disappointment involved for Dale Romans and his team as Dennis's moment really inexplicably backs out of the fountain of youth. Dale graciously joins us. Dale, let's start with congratulations.
Thank you. Mr. Freeze ran a huge race.
This was really impressive, and it just feels like he's coming into himself fully I mean, talk a little bit about turning back to the mile and what transpired since Pegasus.
Well, he came out. I thought he ran a huge Pegasus, and he came out of it in good shape. And we talked over a few things, maybe waiting on going to the Godolphin Mile or running here and then going Godolphin Mile. Or, there's a lot of options out there. So, but he worked so good a week ago that I decided to go ahead and run him. And glad we did. He ran a huge race, and I set him up perfect.
We'll get to the Godolphin Mile thing in a minute, but talk a little bit about what you see. I mean, this is a 5-year-old, and to honor and serve, we really haven't seen that many of his progeny get to this point, and be given a chance to fully blossom as a mature horse. So obviously, there's something from that standpoint for this horse to really be at his best now as a 5-year-old.
Well, he was a good 3-year-old. He went in the West Virginia Derby, and then all of a sudden we ran him, and he just pulled himself up. Nothing. Couldn't find a thing wrong with him. Did it again a second time. Nothing. Couldn't find anything wrong with him. And then one day in training, he's made a little noise. And, at rest, when you scope a horse, a lot of times it doesn't tell the whole story. And he finally showed us that he was having some airway issues, and we sent him in and did a little procedure on him, and he came back roaring like a lion. And then it kind of turned everything around. And ever since we brought him back, every race has been good. I was just looking at his chart. He's only had 2 off the board finishes, and those were the 2 that he basically just pulled himself up.
Yeah.
So, but as he's gotten older, he is steadily on the improvement. I think maybe a little bit of it earlier this year was getting him comfortable to know he's not going to have any airway issues. And I think he's confident in himself now, and this might be the breakthrough race we've been looking for.
At this point, what's your feeling on his best aptitude and what scenario he's best at?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, he's obviously a great miler. I haven't given up on the fact that he can run further. Speed going long is always dangerous. Catch the right group, they don't catch you. And so anywhere from a mile on, but I think he's probably his best, most consistent flat mile.
That gets us to this Godolphin Mile concept. Why is that preferable for him at this juncture when it feels like he's on his way to earning a chance as a stallion? Why is this preferable to running in things like the Carter and the Met?
Well, I mean, they're down the road a little ways. This is a month away, and it's $2 million. There's just nothing wrong with going over there trying to win $2 million.
Well, yeah. And
big a believer in the curse of going over there as well. If you look at the winners, there's a lot of winners that have come back and haven't done as well as they would have. But they're all, by the time you get to the point where up to that level, you're probably winding down anyway. But you look at the overall horses that have shipped and come back, the majority of them have gone on and had not had an issue.
Well, and you've had success going. I can understand, but I just, if somebody asked, in fact, on Saturday on Twitter, they said, what would he do between now and the Met Mile? And my first reaction was, the Churchill Downs handicap, the Carter, that it just felt like there were domestic assignments. But I get it. I mean, talk about Backey and Isbister. What a nice situation. I mean, they've had good horses, Dale, and nice to have one at this level.
Oh, it is, and they're really enjoying it and having a good time with it. This is the best horse they've had. And, they also have attachment rate that's coming up for the Gotham this weekend,
yep.
Which is turned out to be a very nice colt. Jim owns Sub-Zero Refrigerators. I'm sure plenty of people have bought Sub-Zero Refrigerators, and we thank you.
And Mr. Freeze, the cute tie-in.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was pretty good. Yeah. One of his district managers, so they always called him Mr. Freeze, and they keep Jim named his horse. And of course, he went with his nickname.
I like it.
Great, now, great people. Really good people to be around, work with.
Dale, how did you come to land Manny Franco, too? Manny gets aboard him for the first time. I mean, Luis Saez obviously out of town. But talk about using Manny with him.
Well, Louis out of town, and Angel's a good friend, and I've just been a big fan of. I haven't ridden Manny, I don't know, a handful of times, but I'm just a big fan, as a racing fan, watching the way he rides. And so Angel and I were sitting up at the track. I hadn't committed to anybody. He said Manny's going to be here. Would I give him a chance? And I didn't see any reason not to. I don't think you can do any better.
No. He seemed to really, you know, get along with him well, and he understood when to move. Talk about, in fact, on that topic, what was your impression of the way the racetrack was on Saturday, and what was the strategy going into this?
Well, I thought 13 out of 14 races, the track was in good shape and played well, and we only had trouble in one, but my horses ran well over it, and my strategy with him is your best horse, just go. And, of course, that's what he did. He just set a little bit off of him and took over head lane. It was over.
Yep. He set up shop, and the outside draw preferable for him. And when he said go, it was over pretty soon, pretty quickly. Nice.
Yep.
Well, there's a couple of other performances on the card to talk about, including the big price maiden that ran huge. We'll get to Rogue Element in a minute. Let's talk about Dennis's moment. And Dale, I the frustration was evident and palpable. You seemed so confident and excited about running him going in. Any further thoughts about what has gone wrong here?
Well, you know, you remember the old thrill of victory and agony of defeat, and Sports Center or whatever you used to call it back then.
Wild World of Sports.
I felt like the Wild World of Sports, right? I felt like the skier at the end of the day. And I don't know. I just love this horse so much, and I still do. He did not injure himself. We can't find anything really wrong with him, what hurt him. And, you know, we're still early in evaluating. But the major thing, you peel back the layers after a performance like that, and it takes a few days sometimes, but the initial thing is are the skeleton structure sound, and he is. He didn't hurt anything. Now we just got to start peeling back some layers and see what we can find out internally or what happened. But actually, we're still kind of stumped.
And, of course, Flavian Pratt was getting on him for the first time. So was there... You know, I know that initially there was the thought, the suggestion, I'm assuming it came from him, that he had grabbed a quarter. Did Flavian relay much information to you about what he felt on the backstretch?
Yeah, the quarter wasn't anything. It was he had a little bit of blood there. He stepped on himself a touch, but it wasn't, you know, that's his horse race, and that's not enough to make a quality horse stop like that. And he just said he had a lot of horse. He just broke fine. He said he was in a good spot. He thought he was happy with his position at the 5/8 pole, and he just kind of dropped a bit. And, you know, we just had to figure out why. So, you know, it's very rare that you're stumped, that this is one of those situations. But usually over the next week, as we do a few tests and a few exams, something will show up that we can work on. But the biggest thing and the best thing is that it's structurally sound.
Well, I will say one thing. I mean, given the timing of this race on the calendar and the 3-year-old trail, the performance that immediately came to mind, I don't know if anybody's brought this up yet, but Irish War Cry did virtually the exact same thing in whatever year that was, four or five years ago, where he went off favored and on the backstretch just started to back out of it. And, it was mysterious at the time for Graham as well. And, they regrouped and on he went. So, for people that are just saying, I tell you, the public, Dale, this guy will make you crazy. I mean, that this horse was never any good. He was always hyped, overhyped, and it's just so ridiculous that it's hard to read I'm sure for you, it's got to be particularly maddening.
Well, not necessarily, because I've never read any social
media. Yeah, you don't even. Exactly.
I don't turn a computer on. I don't know how people live by other people's opinions of them. I don't know how someone feels like they have the right to critique anything that they haven't done anything. I mean, the ignorance of this country and the world today and dealing with social media and thinking that anyone cares about someone else's opinion. Who has the time to sit there and critique someone in a negative way or write negatively about another person on the internet? I hear about it all the time, but I don't see it. I don't look at it. I couldn't care less what someone else says or thinks about me or my horses. I know what I love this horse. I always will love this horse. If he doesn't win another race, he's a special horse to me. I mean, I get to come in there and pet him every single day. And, you know, as you talked about four, I can give two of my own horses that have done the same thing. I took Brody Scott to Tampa for the Tampa Derby and thinking he was coming off the layoff. I think he's going to run great. He ran dead last. Comes back and wins the Bluegrass. Took Shotsford
into the
Fountain of Youth, and he runs way up the racetrack. And that's another one. I just scratched my head after that race. I could not throw. Shackelford wasn't Shackelford yet, and I just couldn't figure out how he could run so bad. And then we just stuck to the program. I remember in the paddock, he's 60-1 for the Florida Derby. And so Jesus said, listen, you just ride this horse hard, and you ride him the rest of his life, because I'm telling you, he's that last race was a fluke, and he gets beat ahead to dial in the Florida Derby. You know, so we're dealing with living, breathing creatures and animals, and it's not a perfect science in any way, shape, or form. But over the years, I have learned, if you have confidence in your horse, you like your horse, you know, just keep moving forward. Get up every day and try to find a problem, fix it.
And Shackelford, I'm just looking, Shackelford beating 20-plus lengths that day.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not my first time having this situation, but I will say, it's the first time on a horse that I love this much.
Well, you'll regroup and you know, see where you are soon enough. Is he? You got diagnostics going on just in case.
24/7. We got all the best working on this horse and all the best diagnostics. How simple would your life be if the most important thing you'd do was sit there on a computer and negatively talk about something or someone that you probably truly know nothing about?
Well, that's the most germane element is how you know, you got people that never put their hands on a horse.
And what's the world? What's this world come to?
Well,
I mean, and horse racing is just a small part of it. The people, you know, you used to have to earn a forum to get to the point where someone would hear what your opinion was. Nowadays, all you got to do is buy a computer. It's pretty ridiculous. Walter Cronkite earned a forum to sit there at night and tell us the news. And now people think that they're smart enough that someone cares about their opinion. I don't know why anybody would read it. Why does anybody care about somebody's opinion?
No, listen, you're not going to get an argument from me. I find it distressing and...
I live in a barn, not on the internet.
I love it. Well, I'll give you another example. You know, on the same topic, you know, here was Rogue Element coming into that maiden race on Saturday, had been beaten a dozen lengths and 22 lengths, and then proceeds to, you know, be a jump or two from breaking his maiden with an 80 buyer.
That's right. You know, I didn't give up on him. I liked him. He had issues, he had excuses, he had reasons, and we just stuck with him. And he jumps up and ran a beautiful race. And that's one of the great things with Brad Kelly. He'll hang in there with you. You don't have to tell him many times that a horse is going to be okay or he's getting better. He's going to improve, and he'll work with you.
Well, and I'm, in fact, I'm just looking at this. You know, he was 116-1.
I know, that'd have been beautiful. I might have retired after that if he hung on.
Rogue Elton, he's an
honor
code.
He got beat and they sent me back to work, right?
Exactly. He certainly was bred as a nice horse. He was a $250,000 Keeneland yearling. He's out of the nice candy ride mare of Watts Humphreys and Mr. Farish. Sweet success. And it's got to be gratifying to see him, you know, start to step toward fulfilling some promise. I mean, that was a very encouraging effort.
It was. And, you know, it's a, I say, it's organic. These are animals. And some of them come around quicker than others. He kept showing us in the mornings he could run enough to, that we want to keep trying, keep pushing, changing, tweaking things. And finally, it looks like he's figured it out. And I'm anxious to run him back in a few weeks and let him put two and two back together. And the same thing happened with a colt that won here last week. He was the first time out at Churchill. He ran horrible. We knew he could really run, though, and attachment rate. And then he comes out first time, 50-1, runs second, gets beat in those, comes back, wins by six. He's right in the thick of things, going to Gotham next week.
And you and I exchanged notes because I was impressed with that effort and earned a serious fig, and you were excited about it. And you might be sitting on another one, that horse that's coming up this week. Before we talk about whatever else is going on, Shazzy B, a third start, has been second twice and looks ready to break through.
No, she's such a nice filly. She's trained so good every day. Doesn't miss a beat. Two good seconds, and I think she's ready to pop now.
That's on, I think that's, is that, it's either Wednesday or Thursday.
Thursday?
Okay. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, Dale, let's catch up on everything else here at the beginning of the year. And first conversation, or second, I think, now that I think about it. Who else? Attachment rate in the Gotham. And actually, you had the second, you know, we talked about the win for Mr. Freeze, but you also had the other horse that looks like there's something there. Rare Form only got beat half a dozen.
Rare Form's a nice colt. I mean, I think he needs two turns. I think it'll be better when we get back home. You know, he's an interesting horse. He's a hard horse to train, but he shows up race day, and he'll be back. And then we got Promises coming in next week. He'll be ready to start training back for some of those races you talked about that were potentially Mr. Freeze could run in.
Nice. How about some of the ones from last year as well that we saw earlier in the winter? Seven Trumpets and the like, Dak Attack. Where's everybody else?
They're all doing well. They're all training well. We're kind of in slowdown mode for South Florida and get ready for Kentucky. But looking forward to going home and have a good Keeneland Churchill.
While we're on the Keeneland Churchill mention, you must have seen, I just let everybody know about that unbelievable spring schedule and the new stakes that are being offered and more. What's your opinion of what Keeneland and Churchill announced, the joint announcement regarding the Lasix elimination for the two-year-olds?
We'll see if that really does happen or not. It doesn't make any sense to me. If you don't like Lasix, get rid of it altogether. Don't get rid of pieces of it. It doesn't make any sense to me to be doing that. Lasix has nothing to do with a negative welfare of a horse. If the horse hemorrhages and you need to stop it, why not do it? But let's wait and see what happens in the near future about that.
Well, Dale, I appreciate, as always, the frankness and also being stoic about how things transpired on Saturday. Mr. Freeze, clearly on the rise and a star in the making, and back to the drawing board a little bit for Dennis's moment.
That's right. We'll figure it out, and stay tuned.
Without fail, Dale Romans, everybody, you can follow Romans Racing, and what do you have immediate plans for Bailey after yesterday's news?
Well, it was a bad weekend for the Romans family all the way around, but I was kind of, I'm a big Pete Buttigieg fan. She works for him. I don't know. She'll probably come down and hang out with me for the rest of the month. Hopefully, anyway. But that kid's an up-and-comer. He's going to be heard of, and I was very proud of him to drop out before Super Tuesday. He knew he wasn't going to get enough delegates, so get out of the way and don't split any votes. And I thought that he was one of the youngest person in the race that showed the most maturity.
Well said. Well, we'll be anxious for some thoughts from Bailey once she kind of decompresses after a very intense year essentially.
Year. She's still undefeated in Des Moines though. She won with Hillary.
Well, there may be a new format next time around for Iowa.
It could be. You're right.
All right, Dale, you're the best. Dale Romans, everybody. Thank you. Always a treat. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Brendan Walsh is going to join us. And Brendan, in that regroup mode, because Maxfield, after the disappointment, not being able to participate in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, they went back and let him heal up. And now it feels like they're inching toward the 3-year-old debut of Maxfield. We'll get the latest from Brendan, and we'll also talk about his turf 3-year-old and more, Vitology. I keyed off of him on Saturday. I wasn't worried about the outside post, and he was terrific. We're going to talk to Tommy Bush after we got Brendan, and then we got Johnny, of course. We'll check in with Johnny D. The regular season of Beat the Host came to an end, and it's championship Saturday, next Saturday, Beat the Host. And see what else Johnny's got for us. Tommy Bush is going to join us to talk about Get Mother a Rose. And she really went back to the well after the trip that Rosario had with her last time. And she did not disappoint Junior Alvarado. Taking full advantage of Get Mother a Rose. I hope you took advantage of the 11-1. And the Get Stormy story as part of this. And, of course, Mrs. Sullivan and Tom Bush, they're responsible for Get Stormy. And here's the latest stake winner for the Crestwood Stallion. Pretty amazing. Lots more to come at the races. Back after this with Brendan Walsh.
The latest racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Whether at home, at the track, or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BICK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Yeah.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Took a trip on a bus that I didn't know. Met a girl selling drinks at the disco. Said truth comes back when you let it go. Seems complicated because it's really so simple. Walking down Young Street on a Friday. Can't follow them, gotta do it my way. No fast lane, still on the highway. Moving in and out, no doubt there's a bright.
No time to get down, cause I'm
We're back at the races, about 10 minutes to the top of the hour. Johnny D will join us after we talk to Brendan Walsh. And, we kind of marveled at Florent Giroux's handiwork when it came to breaking sharp and getting in front of that Fountain of Youth field and, you know, ultimately, you know, saving ground and getting to the lead from the 10 hole, from the gate anyway. He was wearing the 11, of course. And it was not too different, you know, from earlier in the day when Vitalogy, and in this case, Javier Castellano from the 12 hole, he had to do something similar. He actually got to leave from the 11 and he managed to, get up close and only be what? In the two path, give or take, two and a half. And then, at will, stalked and took over and then basically, controlled things from the front at that point and comes back a winner for his 3-year-old debut. Brendan Walsh joins us. Congratulations.
Thanks, Steve. Good morning.
Good morning. And the No Nay Never colt that just nipped when it came to his U.S. debut in the Bourbon, when Peace Achieved decisioned him. In this case, not taking any chance as to having to pass a bunch of horses. He was prominent. Talk about his maturity and what's gone on since the fall.
He's done great, obviously, Steve. We gave him a break after the whole Breeders' Cup debacle last year. It was just a good time. It wasn't that there was anything wrong with him. It was a good time to give him a little time off because, even though he's relatively lightly raced, he did, he ran in Ireland, went to England, went to Canada, came over here. We didn't have him very long and we ran him off 3 weeks rest in the Bourbon and he had then we flew him to Santa Anita. So he had a lot of activity last year, and we said we'd give him a little time and have him fresh for a new year this year. And, we got him back in. We didn't have him back in a terribly long time, really. We just got him back in kind of around December, just before Christmas. And, so we just had enough work in him the other day, and it looked a good good place to start him off for the year, and thankfully it worked out. So he's an exciting horse for next year.
There's no doubt. And, the 3-year-old turf opportunities, the calendar kind of lays out itself. Talk about his versatility from a distance standpoint and his ability to relax, because it looked, Brendan, like, he was eager to be involved, but it didn't look like he was giving Javier a hard time.
No, he was a little, last year, I don't know that, I can't say that he wasn't a horse that couldn't be put in a race, Steve. I think we kind of dropped them out in Keeneland last year because of the draw. But the other day we were in a little tighter, and we just thought there were, you know, we just thought let them break and get them in and save some ground. And you know, there's nobody better at that than Javier. And you know, so he broke good, and but he said he took them there the other day, whereas last year he wasn't maybe as aggressive a horse. Not that he was aggressive, for need of a better word, but. You know, he said he took him everywhere last week or last Saturday, and you know, he hit the front, if anything, maybe a little soon. But you know, everybody had their chance to take a shot at him if they could, and he fended them all off and held them off well, I thought.
Oh, there's no doubt. What do you sense in terms of watching him? What do you sense distance wise is going to, you know, ultimately be his forte?
You know, Steve, he looks like a horse that could go anything between a mile. You could maybe even stretch him out to a mile and a quarter if you needed to. You know, he's bred to be able to stretch out a little. You know, you know, I wouldn't be afraid to go anything between a mile and a quarter at some point. You know, he. Who knows? We'll stick to the mile and a 16, mile and eight for now, I think, with the program ahead. But you know, at some point we might have to stretch him out a little bit further. But we'll see as we go.
Well, of course, mid year, and with the, you know, with the turf races that Naira, you know, offers. You know, he would have to go a little, you know, a little further and sort of watch and see how it evolves. But, you know, I thought it was one of the, you know, considering when the race was run on the card, it was the fourth. So it went off at 1 o'clock. And so, you know, some people hadn't even settled into their day of playing the races yet. And if you missed it, be sure to pull it up and watch the nice performance and the nice ride that Javier Castellano turns in. This is a Qatar Racing runner, and Mark DeTample's involved, and Bottle Rocket Stable. An interesting set of owners. How did this all come about?
Yeah, it's I think the boys bought the horse at Arcana last year as a 2-year-old. Steve, Mark, and Fergus Galvin in Lexington, and you know, they left them in Ireland with Joseph. For the early part of his 2-year-old year, I believe they had the intention of possibly bringing him over here if things panned out, and thankfully they did. But I believe Qatar bought into him after a while. I think maybe they might have bought into him before he ran at York. I'm not 100% sure, but they definitely had bought into him by the time he showed up in Woodbine. You know, so it is a nice combination. Mark's been a great great owner of mine. He owned a horse called Carey Street with me years ago.
Sure.
When I started first. And he's been a great client, and Fergus, they've been great supporters of us since we started. So it's great to have a good one for them. And of course, Sheikh Zahed and Qatar Racing is—it's great to have horses running in their colours, their famous colours, and Bottle Rocket as well are friends of Mark's. So you know, he brought them in as well, and they're getting involved as time goes along. And it's just a great—it's great fun and a great experience for everybody involved, really, Steve. Outside of what happened last year, you know. I just felt really, really happy for them people the other day, you know, because sure. Last year's ordeal at the Breeders' Cup wasn't easy for them to take. And, you know, they never flinched, any of them, with me or with any of them. They just took it on the chin, and we moved on, and here we are. So it's totally deserved for them as much as it is for anybody.
Well, and of course, we're going to talk about Maxfield in a second, but Vitalogy as well. The disappointment, that was the craziest 48 hours, you know, anybody had to deal with at Santa Anita when it came to you know, any issues and the you know, the vet staff and deciding who's going to run and who isn't and who shouldn't have. The other part of the day that we should talk about before we talk Maxfield, Lasanyare, I thought ran a very nice race, but that sneaky Roger Atfield, he brings a maiden winner in, and what does she do? Second time North America, that was unbelievable. She goes to the lead. She had come from off the pace in her maiden win and made everybody chase her, and nobody could get to her.
Yeah, but you know, on paper, Steve, it was a nice race for something that could go out on the lead like that.
Yeah.
It looked like it was going. We were concerned that, you know, we weren't going to have enough pace in front of us, and we didn't really have enough pace in front of us in an ideal world for our filly. But you know, no, taking it away from Rogers' filly. She went out there on the lead, like you say, second run in this country, and she won and won really well. You know, like Vitality, everybody had their chance to take a shot at her, and she held them all off. So hats off to them guys. You know,
and it's funny because this was a Godolphin bred Frankel filly, and. I looked and I said, you know, first time against winners, first time stake, all that. I thought, I don't know. But in the meantime, Lasanyare, who's a mare now that I can recall talking to Lynchy about, Brian Lynch, of course, had her. And, you know, it seems like you're getting to know her, and this was a very nice performance. I mean, she's a graded stake winner already. You talk about some ideas going forward out of this.
I think, Steve, she's one of these horses that, you know, what sets up in front of her is probably her the key to her, you know. I think she just needs to have a situation where she's got a bit more pace than what we had the other day in front of her, you know. So we're considering, you know, we touched on it the other day after the race, but we're considering just dropping her back in trip a little bit and you know, maybe a mile or a mile and a 16th, and maybe just where you're you know, you're never guaranteed, but at least you have a better chance of a stronger pace in front of you. And I think that might set it up better, because she is very talented. I mean, she's shown me in her work at home more than anything. She's got serious talent, I think, if things set up right for her. So, you know, she wasn't too far away now the other day. She ran a good race. Tyler gave her a great rise, considering there wasn't that much pace in front of her. But I think if she gets the right setup, I think she'll be competitive in any company.
Well, we'll watch for Lasanyare's next opportunity, and any circumstance, configuration, and distance and such to see how to apply. Got to ask you before we talk about Maxfield, one more starter from Saturday, Brendan Walsh with us. And Plus Que Parfait came back for the four-year-old seasonal debut. And, you know, Brendan, when you handicap races, you get to certain spots and you look at a field. This field, to me, I might handicap this 100 times and come up literally with, you know, six or seven different, there were only seven horses, but it just was such a curious assembly of horses. And then what happens, McPeak and Harvey Wallbanger, the longest shots on the board, they blow it open. Talk about the comeback for Plus Que Parfait.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was working good. We thought he was doing really well going into it. And he traveled around there the other day. I thought at the half-mile pole, he was going better than anybody. He still looked like he had a ton of horse. But he emptied out, you know, and emptied out quick enough. But he did drop a couple of clangers on us last year at the fairgrounds. I don't know if certain tracks don't suit him or you know, off the layoff, whether he got really tired. He didn't seem exhausted afterwards. But, you know, he looks like he came back out of it okay, Steve, which is the main thing. You know, so we'll observe him here over the next couple of weeks and get him back walking and just go from there. But little bit of a head scratcher, to be honest about it. But, you know, it's not the first time he's done it. You know, we managed to get him back to his best last year when it happened. You know, he's a very good horse on his day, and you know, hopefully this will have brought him forward, and we won't look back from here. We look forward and keep cracking on with him, Steve. But nothing major wrong there to put the finger on. So we just roll on and go from here.
Well, and of course, went across to Maidan essentially 48 weeks ago to win the UAE Derby, and you know, ninth in the Kentucky Derby, moved up to eighth, tried the Belmont, and third in the West Virginia Derby. And so nice to have the point of entry Ridgeling back, and you know, just to get these four-year-olds. You know, everybody complains about horses leaving the stage and going to stud. You know, here's a horse that people got to know last year, and you can root for him. And ideally, you're going to get a good price on him next time. Under the best, you know, under the best case scenario. Brendan, let's get to Max Field, and I got a couple of other runners that we're kind of curious about among the trainees, but. It seems, based on the workout and your comments, it feels like Max Field is coming along like you'd hoped.
Yeah, no, he's doing good, Steve. He worked yesterday and worked nice. You know, it's the first time since he came back that we put him in company. So we put him in company yesterday and he worked pretty good. You know, he'll only do what he's asked in his work normally anyway. He's a laid back enough dude, but he you know, he worked good and he looks good here this morning, so you know, we can't ask for more than that, and we're rolling along, you know, like we would like to be. So yeah, no, we're very, very happy with his progress so far, Steve.
Without, you know, without holding feet to fire, you know, just based on how this, you know, how this typically goes, and you know, and what your level of aggressiveness might be in terms of trying to get him to a prep, and essentially, you know, you're not hell bent to get him to Derby. He's gonna tell you, but you know, what's your gut feel where you are right now?
I think really what's going to tell us is his next couple of works. You know, we're just going to keep an eye on that, and we keep an eye on what everybody else is doing. And we've obviously got a couple of different routes or plans in our mind, but I'd hate to commit or not to commit to anything right now. And Steve, you know, we're start turning the screw on him here now the next few works, and we'll see how he does with them, and then I think we'll have a good idea. But you know, the horse should be ready to run in and around late March, early April. So you know, it's just a question of what kind of a spot we want to take on with him. You know, we can go. There's a couple of different routes we can take, but you know, we'll talk to Godolphin and everybody about that and decide what's the best plan to come up with. But you know, like I said, I hate to commit or not to commit to anything right now. But like I said, sure, we'll know an awful lot more here in the next couple of weeks.
What do you think would benefit him? I mean, something like a 7/8 kind of a comebacker, or would you not be afraid of sending him two turns in a return event?
He started going a one turn mile last year and turned around 3 weeks later and went a mile in the 16th. Steve, so he has a tendency to exceed expectations. You know, so you know, something like that. It just, like I say, it just depends. The route that we take is probably what's going to dictate what we do with him, you know. You know, we'll let him tell us that in the next few weeks.
Well, Maxfield fans on hold, but undoubtedly encouraged by what, you know, they're hearing and what they're seeing. Let me ask you a couple of maiden winners, Brendan, that we're looking forward to next steps. Last Chance for Love that won about 10 days ago at Fairgrounds.
Yeah, no, she ran really well and looks like she could be a nice filly, Steve. I'm probably going to run her back in another allowance race, either at the Fairgrounds or in Keeneland, and we'll go from there. But yeah, we're very happy with her first start. She looks like she's pretty talented filly. You know, we thought that her work was very good, and we thought that, and she had a really nice experience first time out too. So she looks to be a nice prospect.
That was my impression. She's out of an Awesome Again mare. She's by Violence at Hillendale, and Wayne Sanders and Larry Hirsch, another prominent ownership pair. This one, what was the act? Was $190,000 as a Keeneland yearling. Okay. So Last Chance for Love, all one word in your, for those of you that are taking notes. And I got to ask you, it's an older horse, but Golden Tappet breaks through, and, you know, the four-year-old, this is an important horse. This is Untappable's full brother. Where are you with Golden Tappet?
He's doing good, Steve. He came out of that race in good shape. You know, where we're going to go with him next, probably an allowance race, kind of similar to the filly there, either Gulfstream or Keeneland. You know, but there's nothing really for him right in the next week or two, so it's probably going to be more towards the end of the month, maybe even the beginning of April, like I said, at Keeneland. But he's doing good, and he looks to be an exciting horse as well. He's got a great pedigree, he's a beautiful looking horse, and you know, like I said, we were delighted with his first start for us. He ran really well, so plenty to look forward to there too, Steve.
Well, that's, you know, he's a colt, and with that pedigree, he's also Paddy O'Prado's half brother, and the Winchell, you know, from the Winchell factory. wait, you think it's a factory now? Wait until the Gunrunners start showing up. that's unbelievable. Exactly. I'm going to ask you about that mare that you ran at in Houston, Saracosa.
She's doing fine. Where we're going to go with her next, I don't know, Steve. I'm just going to see. You know, but she's doing fine. She came out of the race in Houston fine. I'm sure she'll be a nice filly as the year goes on. But you know, hopefully we'll see her back here before too long.
Well, and of course, she was the horse that had a big price. The reason she's top of mind. She won the new Bob Fortas Memorial, and was a price that Bob Fortas would have loved, 30-1 that day.
Yeah, no, she was. We got very, you know, it was very fortunate. She's always a filly, showed plenty of talent at home, but couldn't get it done in the A other than for whatever reason. But we managed to get her to win the stake anyway, which is great with a Bernardini filly. I'm sure it'll have increased her value a ton, you know, for her owners and that. And, you know, so they're a sought after commodity right now, Steve, you know. So, you know, it was great to win that stake with her anyway, you know.
Interesting. I appreciate both updates. I didn't realize that. All right, Brendan, and one more, Callio, that finished the year nicely.
Yeah, actually, Callio's been retired.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But, you know, Steve, she had a great year last year, you know, and it was great to win the Cardinal with her at the end of the year. But she's had her issues in that back along, and, you know, we thought it best to retire at the end of the year going into the breeding season and everything. But she was a great little filly, you know. She won that stake at Ellis Burris and in the Cardinal. It was a big day for her. And it was great for some great clients as well. So, you know, it was mission accomplished with her. So hopefully we get to train her babies there in a few years' time.
Well, and, you know, she is a Scat Daddy, and anything Scat Daddy related is, you know, is going to be treasured at this point, you know, going forward, male or female. One more to ask about, and that's the runner coming up this week at Fairgrounds, Pinsos, a distorted humor gelding looking to break through for Castleton Lions.
Yeah, he's a nice horse too, Steve. He ran really well for his first out last year at Ellis. Then we stretched him out at Kentucky Downs, and he didn't quite, contrary to what his trainer thought, he didn't quite stretch out as well as I would have liked him to. But I've always liked the horse. Then I tried him on dirt. That didn't quite work out. And, you know, the ground was a little soft from a Churchill last year. But I think he's a bit of a sleeper, this horse. We gave him a little time off. We brought him down to the fairgrounds, and he's been working away there. And he looks like he's set to go now. So we're looking forward to seeing him make his first start back on Thursday. And I think he'll give a good account of himself, you know.
You know, he happens to be an interesting horse. You know, Castleton Lions bred him. He's been gelded, so, you know, there's nothing happening long term at this point. He's a 4-year-old. However, that mare Tappas, the Tappet Dam, she was unraced, but she happens to be a sister of Just Whistle Dixie, who's about as treasured a broodmare now after her good race career as there is. So, you know, there's some pedigree there, and people should keep an eye on Pinsos. And I'll give you the spelling, P-I-N-T, pint, X-O-S, Pinsos, for Brendan Walsh coming up on the 5th. So what's that? Thursday? Is that Thursday? I can't keep track of days.
It is Thursday.
Thursday. Very good. Brendan, terrific return for Vitalogy. Excited about the return of Maxfield and everything else that's going on. And I'll see you, I suppose, I'll see you at Fairgrounds, right, for Louisiana Derby Week.
Yeah, please God, Steve. We'll have a few there. We'll be there, and we look forward to it.
Absolutely. Brendan Walsh, everybody, and you can follow Brendan on Twitter. I can't say that I see a lot of Brendan's tweeting. You're not really. It's Bren P. Walsh, I know, but I can't really recall seeing you have too many things to say on Twitter.
Let everybody else do the talking for me, Steve.
Well, we're 2 for 2 because Dale Romans sounded that same tone earlier this morning about what goes on. Thanks so much, Brendan. I appreciate it.
No problem. Always a pleasure, Steve. Thank you.
We'll see you soon. Brendan Walsh, everybody, and a host of horses to keep track of. He's got an active barn. I didn't even ask about one of our favorites, the venerable turf sprinting extravagant kid, but you know, he trots him out every 4 weeks or so. Let's take a break about 20 minutes into hour two. Johnny D going to circle in, and then we got some Tom Bush to look forward to and get Mother a Rose, who was the key to a good Saturday. Hopefully for a lot of you, but Johnny D first. beat the host of 2020. It's in the books. We'll talk about kind of a surprising result to some degree, I think, fair to say. Yeah, and the sweep the host success stories and the seasonal success as well. We'll get all those details and much more. Johnny D joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
At the track or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business.